6 o'clock. And we are on Tzadi Aleph Amud Aleph. We're in the middle of the story of Gvia ben Psisa and the different nations that came to claim a right to Eretz Yisrael. So yesterday we did two of them, which is Mitzrayim, which claimed that the Jews, not the Mitzrayim, didn't claim a right to Eretz Yisrael. They claimed a right, the Canaanim claimed the right to Eretz Yisrael. And the Mitzrayim wanted to get paid all the money that had been taken from them. Tzadi Aleph Amud Aleph. And we are 1, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 11 lines from the bottom, 2 words from the end of the line. The Shulpam Achad Bo B'nei Yishmo B'nei Ketura Lodnim Yisrael Lefnei Alexander Smegdim. A different time, B'nei Yishmo B'nei Ketura came to have a court case in front of Alexander the Great. Amrulai Eretz Kanan Shalonu Ushalachem. They said Eretz Kananu belongs to us and to you. It means we are partners. Siv Eila told us Yishmael ben Avram. Siv Eila told us Yitzchak ben Avram. I guess Yishmael wanted a two-state solution. Right? They felt that it should be a partnership between Yishmael and Yitzchak. Give me permission and I will go and present the case in front of Alexander the Great. If they beat me, you'll be able to claim that all they won was over a layperson. Again, I don't know if they would have to be able to go to court again, but I think it would mitigate the Chil Hashem, meaning if they lose, it won't be such a Chil Hashem because it was represented by what he considered a lay person. The Im, Adiyan Ateach Oysam, and if I will beat them, Amrulahem, you will tell them, Tyrus Maisha Rabbeinu Tzchaschem, you were beaten by Maisha Rabbeinu's Tyra. Nothing like Rishus, they gave him Rishus, Halach Bidonimam, and he came and he went and had the court case with them. Amrulahem, Hechimatim Abiyim Raya, how do you know that it belongs partially to you? Amalei Minatayra. So they said, it's Minatayra, because the Tayra says, Eila told us Yishmael ben Avram. Amalehem, Avani lo yabi raya Minatayra. You should never eat in Avram, as kol ha-shaloi li Yitzchak. Avram gave everything to Yitzchak. But the Bnei Apalakshim, Ashal Avram, thus in Avram Matonis. And to the Bnei Apalakshim, to the other children, he gave them presents. Av shenosin agatin, which I guess means, Rashi says, a written will or a written statement saying that this belongs to one child and the other one belongs to the other child, the Bana V'chayav, the Shigir Zemi Alzeh, and he sent one away from the other. Klum Yesh Lazeh Alzeh Klum, is there any claim afterwards? Inheritance only comes if it wasn't pre-divided. But if it was pre-divided and he gave it as a present to Yitzchak, Yishmael can't claim. The same Torah says, "Vayitan Avram as Kol Hashaloi LeYitzchak." Besides, he gave presents to the Bnei Apalakshim. Kol Hashaloi includes the right to Eretz Yisrael, and therefore Yishmael has no taina. Rashi, Agatin Ksavim, written statement, Shleitu Echad B'Chelik Averai. K'mayshas Avram LeYishmael Shleitu B'Mashal Nasmi Yitzchak Klum. I'm sorry, Shmashal Nasmi Yitzchak. He shouldn't take what he gave Yitzchak. Klum Yesh Lozeh Zeh Klum. Do they have any claim against each other? So therefore, Yishmael is refuted. Avi pointed out to me yesterday, and I've heard it before, that in their version of the Torah, of course, in their false version of the Torah, they have that the Akedah happened to Yishmael. And therefore, since the Akedah happened to Yishmael, everything was given to Yishmael, not to Yitzchak. So these Yishmaelim is pre-Muslim Yishmaelim. Muslims didn't come around until hundreds of years later. But this was the Yishmaelim pre-Muslims. They hadn't invented yet that they can change the Torah and write what they want. So they were dealing with the real version of the Torah, where it says he gave it to Yitzchak, so that was the refutation of what they had said. Dr. Gemara invited to my matanus. What presents did he give the Bnei Apalachim? Amar Yemir Ba'aba Malamit Shemoslim Hem Shem Tumah. He gave them the Shem Tumah of Rashi Kishuf Umayt Shedim. He gave them the ability to do sorcery and to work with Shedim. Now, the interesting thing here is, the Achronim are bothered, Kishuf is Asur L'Bnei Nayach. So if Kishuf is Asur L'Bnei Nayach, we had earlier, there was a Machlokes Tanoim, whether witchcraft is permitted or prohibited to B'nei Nayach. And the question is, if it is permitted, if it is prohibited, how can he give it over to the Bnei Apalachim, the Chayrit's Asa for them to do? So many multiple Terutzim are given. The Mashah says that it's doing like the Mandi Amar, it says the Kishuv is not Asa the Bnei Nayach. Or one is allowed to teach Kishuv if he's just teaching it to know it, not to use it. Others want to say the Ir Yaakov wants to offer it. Perhaps the Isra Kishuv with Bnei Nayach is only in Eretz Yisrael, because the Pasuk by Kishuv says that it's a Toeva of the land. So maybe off Eretz Yisrael they are not prohibited. Others want to say that this, again, the first Teretz in the Mashah is this is going like the Mandam, the Kishuv is permitted, and therefore he was allowed to teach them Kishuv. There is a Medrash. Yes, I'm sorry. Shame might shame them. It was a present to them. I guess that they should be able to employ it and use it in their lives wherever they live. If you learn that it's mutter. Yeah,
right.
Yes.
Does this imply that it's not given to Yitzchak?
No, not necessarily. The usage of it wasn't given to Yitzchak. The knowledge of it might have been given to Yitzchak. They seem to be given to it to use. They, I guess, lived a life where they communicated with Shadim and they did things with Shadim. I'm speculating.
So it wasn't knowledge.
Well, with the knowledge, the difference is when Yitzchak learned the knowledge, it was to know the knowledge and not to use the knowledge. And when they got the knowledge, I guess, if you don't learn like the Mashah, that for them it was information also, one would say they got it to use as well.
We're just trying to differentiate. It seems like we have exclusive gifts here. Everything I have is for you, and now this is what I'm giving for you.
To use.
To use. So it's use. You may
right.
use it, you may know it.
Right, something like that. Right. There's a medrash that says that Avraham Avinu told the Bnei Apalachim when he sent them away that they should go far away from the Jews, stay as far away as they can from the Yidden, because he said that any nation that bothers Klal Yisrael will, when Mashiach comes, will be punished, and any nation that stays out of the way, they'll be the goyim that remain around L'mayis HaMashiach. So he gave them the advice of get out of here and go somewhere where you're just not going to be around the Yidden. And that way you won't bother them throughout their history, through history, and you'll have a chance to be there at the end. So that's what the Medrash says. It's a Medrash in Tehillim. I just, interestingly wonder which nations they were that haven't bothered Yidden. The only ones I can think of is in Southeast Asia. The Southeast Asians, I don't think have, really have any shaykhus, any give and take with Yidden per se over history. Besides for that, I can't think of many nations that haven't had their chance and have jumped at the opportunity to bother Yidden. So, again, Avraham Avinu sent them far away, El Eretz Kedem, to the east. Again, I think these would be the Chinese, probably the Indians to an extent, and these kind of people, Malaysians, and Thais, and Burmese, and that just never had a chance to call yourself. Yes?
I saw one place where it said Chinese.
Could be.
Is the idea of Shamus Tumas of Sinai's language that there is an area which is pure Kedushus called Yisrael, there is an area which is pure Tumah, which is, or pure Chetzain is probably a better term, which is Umasael, and then there is an area which is between the two, which could either belong to the Chetzain or be part of the Panemius, and that's the
again, I will waver on that. Yes.
Is it in itself something bad or evil?
Well, it's not Kedusha. It's the opposite of Kedusha. I wouldn't call it evil. Avraham Avinu wouldn't give him something evil. It's not for Yidden. It's not Kedusha. Dr. Gemara Vayit to Amar Lemlet, Antoninus L'Rebbe. Antoninus said to Rebbe. Antoninus and Rebbe developed a very close working relationship during the time of Rebbe. It was the one time in history that Esav and Yaakov had the correct type of a relationship. Antoninus, understanding his goal is, his mission is, to facilitate Rebbe's ability to teach Torah. In fact, Rebbe was able to write Mishnayos, or organize Mishnayos, during his time, and he was very close to Rebbe, and the Gemara recounts many conversations that they had. Over here we will have a number of conversations, a number of questions that Antoninus posed to Rebbe, and Rebbe gave him answers, some of which Antoninus accepted, some of which he rejected, and Rebbe accepted his rejection according to many Achroinim. It's Machloikas, we'll see. Amalei Antoninus for Rebbe. Gufa neshama yecheilam lifter asa v'menadim. How can HaKadosh Baruch Hu punish people? When the people die, their body separates from their soul. Each individual one can claim non-responsibility. Guf Aymer Neshama Chatos. The Guf will claim that the cause of sin was the soul. Proof is, take the Neshama out of me, as now, after death, and I'm just sitting here like this rock. Can't do any Averis. Neshama Aymer is Guf Chatos. The minute I left the goof, I ain't doing any Averis either. So the Neshama claims they're not to blame, and the goof claims they're not to blame. So Rabbi's answer was, I will give you a mashal. What is this comparable to? The Melech Vasav Adam, a human king, Shreile Pardes, not a beautiful orchard, and he had the Kurais Na'ais, Rashi says, ripe figs. Ripe figs. But two watch people. One was lame, one was blind. So the blind person can't see, the lame person can't walk, and they are watching the orchard. The lame person says to the blind person, I see these beautiful fruits in the orchard. Give me a ride. Right? You can't get them because you can't see where they are. I can't get them because I can't walk. So put me on your shoulder and we'll get it together and we will eat it. So the chigar goes on top of the suma and he brought them and they ate it. The yamim bobal pardes, later on the orchard owner came, amalah, and he said, "Bekuris nas hekanein, where are my beautiful fruits?" You can't blame me. I have no legs to walk to get them. Do I have eyes to see where they are? So what did the king do? He put the chigar on top of the suma, and he punished them as a unit. Maybe neshama bezarka b'teich haguf, puts the neshama back into the guf. He calls to the sky above, which is the neshama, which comes from Shemayim, the la'aretz gotten amay, and to the land to judge his nation. And this will happen at Chiyas HaMaisim. Rashi, Yikra Shemayim Yochlam, Yikra Kodesh Baruch Hu, Neshama Bolad Lutar Kupa Shavadam, it comes to me Allah Shemayim, from the top of the sky, Yikra Avala Gup Shavam in the Aretz. The Mashal explains that, I'm sorry, the Ben Yigada explains that the time of the Guf and the Neshama is, I mean, everybody knows that the Guf and the Neshama functions as one. So some want to learn, I shouldn't say first, I'll say the other one, some want to learn that they claim it's Shnayim Sha'asu. It's Halacha and Hilchos Shabbos, that Shnayim Sha'asu, if two people do a Malacha, they're Pater. So they're claiming, neither of us did it by ourselves, we are two separate units, and the proof that we are two separate units is that we were separated at death. And therefore, we are two separate units, and neither of us could do it by ourselves, and therefore we are absolved from Adin. We are not guilty because one needs to do it. Now, the problem with that is that if two can't do it, and you need two to do it, there's no Patur of Shnayim Sha'asu. Okay, I'm just pointing it out. The Yada claims that each one claims that the other one is the engine. Just like when a person takes a sword to kill somebody, we don't say that the sword is guilty. We say the person is guilty. I mean, except today, people blame the gun, not the person. But in reality, guns don't kill people. People kill people. So the same thing here. Each one claims they're being used by the other. The goof claims, I was just a vessel in the hands of the neshama, and the neshama made me do my thing. And the neshama claims, I was used by the goof. Proof is, take me away from the goof, I am harmless. So that was the claim of each one. Of course they acknowledge that they helped each other do the chait. Wasn't like they're trying to trick the Rabbeinu Shlalom. It's not like the Chigar and Suma is masim, like they're trying to pull the wool over the king's eyes. But each one's claiming that they're the engine. The other one was the engine of the chait. The person, and they were just the vehicle, the vessel used to do the chait. Which I guess you could learn in the Chigar and the Suma as well. Chigar claiming all he did was go along with the Suma, and the Suma learns all he did was transport the Chigar. Each one learning that they're the, not the driving force. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu's answer is, it's not two units with one driving the other, it's one Metzias of Adam. Adam is combination, Gashmi, Ruchni, Neshama, Guf, spiritual, physical, and it's not that we view it as two separate entities that one uses the other, but one entity of a fusion of both of them together, and therefore they are punished as a unit of one of them together. That's how the Ben Yad explains it. That's the Gemara advice. Well, yes and no. It might be true that the neshama is corrupted by the guf, but then it's the guf in itself. Meaning, guf has no life.
The neshama is the innocent little soul that has come down and been corrupted by the guf, rather than the as equal partners that have come that have participated in what has happened.
See. Let me reword that. A guf by itself can't do a thing. Neshama is spirituality that comes from above, which is uncorrupted. Makai neshama shenasata bi tahirahi. That is true. But putting the neshama in a physical setting, it uses the guf. It's not that the guf corrupts the neshama. It's what the neshama does in a guf setting that corrupts them both. I hope I'm explaining myself. Meaning, the neshama without a guf setting, neshama shenasata bi tahirahi. The guf without a neshama is nothing. Putting the neshama into a physical setting corrupts, allows the neshama to corrupt itself. Right? And therefore, it's not, the neshama is not innocent, because it is allowing itself to be corrupted by the physical setting it's placed in. But it's part of what happens. It's part of the chait. Without the neshama, first people don't live. People can't function. So the neshama is the fact that it's in a physical setting, which is what he means. Therefore, the tahira neshama has become sullied by what it does here, based on the fact that it's in a physical setting and cannot lead the physicality, but rather is influenced by the physicality. I hope I'm explaining myself. Yes.
Well, also, would it not be accurate to say that the tapas and the shama is not to be a disembodied spirit, but rather it is to be in a physical existence, linked to a group in a physical existence? I think this is the nature of the edge.
I don't think anybody's arguing at that point. I think his question was just how to view the two. That's all.
At that point, one views something, one judges something, something exists as its essence, not as its.
As a side answer, and as such can be judged. Could be. Why does the sun rise in the east and set in the west? The Rebbe told him, Yabba Ipcha had it been the other way. You would have asked me the same question. Why does it rise in the west and set in the east? You're right. I wouldn't ask you that question, because no matter where it rises and where it sets, it's got to rise somewhere and set somewhere else, and therefore it wouldn't be a fair question. However, what I'm asking you is, the Mashakaz Mamaira, why doesn't it go around the whole sky? Usually people go out the same door they enter. Why is the sun traverse the sky and set on the other end, instead of circling the sky and setting where it came from? That was his question. Again, the Rabbi Nishlailam made that we should see the sun set on the other direction than what it is, right? He could have created a method, could have made the same creation with the sun circling the whole sky, which would have been the normal way of entrance and exit, instead of setting up the system the way he did.
Did they think the world was flat at that time?
I have no idea. I highly doubt the Rebbe thought the world was flat. He probably knew that the world was round. I think his question is, the Rabbi Nishim could have made it appear to us one way or the other way. Why did he make it appear to us that the sun does not return to where it came from? You know, the Rabbi Nishim is infinite. He can do whatever he wants. He could have made the sun rise here and then rise there and work one way, work the other way. That's not a kasha. There's a sense of sun not going back to where it came from. What is the message in that? That's what he wants to know. That the Gemara Amalei could elit and shalom lekaina. He said to give shalom to its master. The Shechina is b'mayrav, and since the Shechina is b'mayrav, we want the sun to bow. If you want to call that, that's what Rashi calls it, to bow to its master, meaning to exit by going down, quote unquote, towards the Shechina. Amaloi v'teisi atalgad rikia v'titi shlama v'seil. The right way one bows to a master is stay far away, bow, and then retreat. So let the sun go to midday, and then bow towards the west and disappear. Why does it set in the west? Why does it take its time setting? Let it go to the mid-sky, bow towards the west, and then set, right there. So he told them, Mishim Parilim and Mishim Ayvrei Drachim. Rabban Islam wanted to set up a system that people should be warned about the end of the day. When the sun is in the middle of the sky, it's midday. From midday to immediate night would be very difficult for workers and travelers to be able to prepare themselves for the night. Whereas now that the sun sets slowly, heads towards the west, it allows for a system where travelers and workers can predict the end of the day more accurately, and therefore prepare themselves for that eventuality. Rashi. The Rashi, Mimashe Kaz B'mayrev. Tisoyviv Eskola Olam. His question was, let it surround the whole world, Ashetamsu L'mokim Zerichasa, until it comes back to the place that it rises, L'mizrach. Tishkan, let it set. The Avihachi, if it would have gone that way, L'hav Amina Loch, I would not have asked you, Mimashe Kaz B'mizrach. I wouldn't have asked you why it happens in the east. Usually things go out the same way they entered, or they go enter the same way they left. It gets to the west, vows that Kadosh Baruch Hu Shabaro that created it, and it enters humbled, bent over Lufnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the question was, if the intention is to bow to Hashem, why enter the western side of the horizon? Let it come to the middle of the sky, the Tishka Lusham, and set there. Musham Tishtach v'kabi Meir, came Derek Me'adam. That is the way of humans. Shemishtach v'barochik with Ne'amelech. They bow down from distance. Ve'ena miskar of Kolkach, and they don't get that close. Musham Parilim. Ilu Keina Emachshach Pisai. Had it been like this, it would have darkened immediately. Shemshachama v'emtsa rekiya me'iri b'yaiser. When the sun is in the middle of the sky, it becomes more light. Usvurim, and they think Shaddai and Yeshua is beyond that still have time in the day. And the workers would have stayed till it gets dark, because people get fooled by the fact that it's so bright outside. Again, would not have had the knowledge of when it'll get dark. The Vakishlam Beislina to find the place to rest. Goes and lowers itself, and the light diminishes till it ceases, that the time of darkness is coming. Dr. Gemara Weitzer. Yes.
It would take about one day to figure out that when the sun is at its zenith, it's time to go home. If you go into the equator, everybody knows that when it gets extremely hot, you better get home to a siesta before the sun goes.
I was bothered by the same question, and the way I answered it to myself was to say that the work day would be cut. It would be almost impossible to function, because at midday, at the time when the world is brightest, when people are quote unquote into their daily activities, they would have to cease and not get involved, not hit it with that thing, because of the fact that the sun is setting right away. And meaning, even if the day would take 12 hours to get to the middle, but the middle of the day symbolizes midday. Whatever midday would be, it would be the quote-unquote time of maximum production. And that would be cut because...
So we'd be less productive.
So I guess that is, Rabbi Nishnam wanted... Again, the question is better than the answer, I'll agree to it.
I agree, Drucker makes more sense that they use the sun for navigation.
Yeah, but as Harvey pointed out, after a few days, you'd understand that it hits that point in the sky, you better find something to... You just, instead of looking at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you'd start looking at 11:30 a.m. That's what Harvey's question is. I mean, these things can be taught. That's his question. The way I understood Rebbe's question, Antoninus's question, is that nature is cyclical. nature runs cyclically. So his question was, why is the cycle of day not go all the way around, like all nature does? Nature is a cycle. So let the day be its own cycle. That's what I think his question was. Why is the day not its own cycle? Why is day and night a cycle, as opposed to the day being its own cycle? That's how I understood his original question. The answer was because we want it to be mishtachva. So once he got into that, so he said, so why doesn't it work the other way? That's again, that's my own understanding. Take it or leave it. That's my own. That's the Gemara Vayta. Now, this was the first two questions we have on Taninus and Rebbe. We are now going to have two more, and in the next two, seemingly, Rebbe agreed to Antoninus at the end of the day. It's Machloikas, but the Bach and others assume that Rebbe agreed to Antoninus. Pashim Shat in the Gemara, it seems that Rebbe agreed to Antoninus. That's the Gemara. Amalai Antoninus for Rebbe. Nishama ma'emesai nitna ba'adam. When does the soul enter the person? Mishas Pekida or Mishas Yitzira? Now this is a very loaded question. When does the neshama enter the person? When the person is conceived? Or when the person is actually formed, which would be 40 days later? That's the question. At what point is the person can have a neshama? Now, this is not a question at what point is their life. Because if it was, we'd have a big problem halacha. We'll see in a minute. Amalai Mishas Yitzira. So he told them that it happens at the formation of the baby, which is when we start considering the baby as a living human being. Halacha starts considering baby as alive 40 days post-conception, which at that point, Abom Yoyim, is when it turns from a tipa into a baby halachically.
That's Pekida?
No, that's Yitzira. Pekida would be the original conception, and Yitzira would be the 40 days later when the baby starts being formed, limbs and so. That's what the, it means. Conception, Rashi learns Pekida means when the Malach goes and brings the Tipa in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, is this one going to be rich or poor, or strong or weak? That happens at the time of conception, which is, I guess, a little bit after the Bia. I don't know. After the Bia. The Trashi Mishas Yitzira, Shenikram Kuloi, he's cut, and Nikram is, Marshall, he's, Nikram is a lotion of a chrome, membrane. He's covered, he's covered with a membrane. The Basar Begidin Vatsamais, he's covered flesh, sinews, and bones. Kida, Shasha Maluk Paikir Atipa, Paikir is a lotion of remembers the tipa, brings it up to be paskened, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is we say by Yema Din, we use the word Pekida. Pekida means there's a certain kind of din. What?
Pekida the shoulder, what does that mean?
Pekida remembered. Or paskin, you can learn either way. A mevil of Nam Malkum. Matahayel, Kabina Mepekal, Yab Mesech the Zidah, like the same Mesech the Zidah. Yad Nizr Kabay Nishama Bechias. At that point, the baby becomes alive. So Rebbe answered in Mishas Yitzira. Zakrashi Amaloi Rebbe Mishas Yitzira. Amaloi Zach Antoninus told them, Efshir Chaticha Shobasar Medish Loshi Yamim Beloi Melech Veda Masrachas. How can a guf exist for 40 days? How can there be anything for 40 days without life? 1 second, I'll get there in a second. How can the body exist for the whatever entity exists for 40 days without rotting? Meaning, tipa srucha in nature, the tipa of semen would rot, would disintegrate, would become nothing. How does it go and become something unless there was a change that happened at conception, which meant that it had an ishama, it got some form of life that lets it go and become from a tipa srucha into a person? So how could you say that there's no neshama put in at that point? So he told them, I'm a Rebbe, Davar Zeh Lamdeini Antoninus. Now, the raya from 3 days was, nothing can last without life. It disintegrates. It ruins. A piece of meat is the raya he brings. A piece of meat left without life rots. Without life, things rot. This is not rotting. This is producing itself. So how can it do that without life? Doesn't that show that it's life? Amar Rebbe, Davar Zeh Lamdeini, the 3 days is just a mushroom. a piece of meat can't last 3 days. So how can anything last 40 days? I'm a Rebbe, Davizel, I'm Dani Antoninus, or Mikra Messiah. This thing Antoninus taught me, and he has a raya from a pasuk. I found the pasuk to support him. Shadamra Pukdascha, Shamra Ruchi. And from the time you were Pukuda, from the time the Malach brought the thing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my Ruach was watched, meaning there was already a Ruach, there was an entry of some form of life at that point. Now in Halacha, we don't consider the baby a baby till 40 days. Not getting involved in abortion and not abortion, but definitely before 40 days, it's a lesser of a question than after 40 days. And the way Rebbe Antoninus is presenting it, there's some form of life. Teretz says, some form of life doesn't have to mean that it's halachically considered alive. What he was saying is, it can't be that no form of life enters till 40 days, because something has had to have entered to make this thing become an entity. And that is, quote unquote, a function of neshama, and therefore it enters even at the earlier stage. Let me just do Rashi.
Why couldn't you say to get the life from the mother? That's why it is not rot.
Well, then, when there's no conception, it rots.
Yeah, but from once it gets a conception, gets
what happens? What does the mother have to do with the conception? Meaning, it conceives, manushach. Meaning, it's linked to the mother through conception, and that's, I don't know. Can it last even 3 days without salt? It wouldn't rot. How could the tipa remain without rotting? And then wouldn't be able to function. It wouldn't be able to provide a baby. And therefore, it must be some form of life that's entered earlier, which Antoninus named as neshama. And it seems that someone who learned Rebbe did not accept it. He just didn't pursue the argument any further. However, most seem to, not most, I didn't do a head count, but a lot of Akwainim seem to say that Rebbe accepted Antoninus, the Rai bringing, he says, you know, he has a pasuk to support him, which is mashma, that he accepted the basic argument of Antoninus. Yes, Shimon. That's if it doesn't conceive. Shifra Zerah is pilot till 3 days is the Shifra Zerah that doesn't conceive. The one that conceives is not Nifletus. The 3 days I started talking about is because Pilatus Shifra Zerah. Pilatus happens to the one that didn't work.
The Mamet Hashina.
Yeah, 3 days. Yes.
Yes, Rabbi Murphy, I've never seen in terms of the model of how wheat works. When one sows seeds, does the rot entirely, or that there remains something? Because that's the model. What we're talking about here is not the idea of fertilization. What we're talking about is one of the reasons why a woman is referred to as carpet. The model that we have is that there is a field which is then sown with seed. The seed either takes or doesn't take, and that now provides. That's first in Cleveland, when you look at the first microscope.
Well, again. I mean, one could make the argument that seed, wheat grows, it has life, but we wouldn't call it neshama. But Antoninus is calling life of human neshama.
So what I'm asking is, in terms of saying that something without a life force rots in less than 3 days, we do have wheat kernels which we sow, and then wheat appears.
I don't know the answer.
That's in Germany. Agree, but again,
that
which does not agree with
it,
you know what I'm saying?
My bread, by the way, grows in Hungers anyway. It doesn't go anywhere else.
Is that a hectare?
No, just that's where it grows. It happens to be that's where it grows. That's the Gemara. That's what happens. That's where I get my. That's the Gemara advice. Amulai Antoninus for Rabbi. When does the Yetzahara rule the person? Now this is going to be a very important word, Shailik. We're going to come back to this. Simply put is, when does the person get Bechira? When does it get choice? Mishas Yitzira and Mishas Yitzia? Is it when the baby is formed? Or is it at birth? At what point is the baby given free choice? At what point is the Yetzahara? Desire. Yetzahara and desire are synonymous because desire is the force of evil. It can be channeled for good, it's necessary component of life, but uncontrolled desire is evil. And seichel, intellect, control, is yetzer tov. Yetzer tov is to control, yetzer hara is to leave uncontrolled. So what time, at what point, does that force of every person, that every person has, that we refer to as yetzer hara because uncontrolled, it ends up being an evil force, at what point does it enter the person? Amalei mishas yetzira. Well, it's part of life. If it's part of life, it should enter. Notice that he said yetzira, he did not say pkida. Amalei came bayad b'neimei v'yaitzei. Why doesn't he make his mother's life miserable and kick her around to hurt her on his and get out? Because he already has a desire. His desire should make him function not like a fetus functions. Ella mishas yetzira. Santanita said it does not enter until the baby actually exits. Amarebi, Davis Elam Dani Antoninus, and Antoninus taught me this, and Umikra Messiah is support from a Pasik, Shadamar Lapesa Khatis Raivait, at the door of the sin is sitting, which means at the door of the person when he enters the world is when he gets the ability to sin. Now, over here, the Mashah has a number of questions. First question is from a Gemara in Yuma. Gemara Yuma says that there was a baby that the mother was getting ill in Yom Kippur. She was pregnant and she was getting very sick. So the Gemara talks about two cases. One was Reb Yechanan's mother, and Rebbe said to whisper something in her ear that it's Yom Kippur. They whispered in the ear that it's Yom Kippur, and the baby stopped making difficulties for the mother, and the mother was able to continue fasting, and Reb Yechanan was born. And then the Gemara says a different story, a different baby that was making life miserable. They did the whispering thing, didn't work, and from that baby, and she had to break her fast, and from that baby was born some Rasha. So that's what the Gemara says. And the question is, makes it sound that inside there's the Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara, because Rabbi Yechanan, the Tzaddik, his Yetzer Tov is controlling his Yetzer Hara even in utero, and this Rasha, his Yetzer Hara is dominating his Yetzer Tov even in utero. His Taiva is so strong, and therefore is not controlled by this Lachisha. What happened to the fact that there is no Yetzer Hara in utero? That's the Mashah's question. Mashah's answer is that that was the mother's Yetzer Hara. It wasn't the baby's Yetzer Hara, it was the mother's Yetzer Hara. Rabbi Yechanan's mother controlled her Yetzer Hara. This Rasha's mother did not. That's what the Mashah wants to say, yes.
So what do we do with Rivka?
That's it. Next question the Mashah says is some Ace of Mepharchas Batseis. When Rivka was carrying the two babies, she went across the house of Avodah Zarah. It said Ace of wanted to get out. What happened? There's no Yetzer Hara in utero. That is the Mashah's question, and he says Vitzarachian. He doesn't know. The Nefesh HaChaim, Reb Chaim V'Lozhiner, wants to answer the following. Nefesh HaChaim says that pre-Eitz Hadas days, before there was a Chet of Eitz Hadas, there was something known as a Yetzer Hara Mibachot, external Yetzer Hara. And after Eitz Hadas, it became internal. Explanation. Before Eitz Hadas, there was choice. But the difference between an external Yetzer Hara and an internal Yetzer Hara, the mashu I'd like to give is, somebody wants to study for a test, and they're sitting down to study for the test, and their friend wants to go buy ice cream. And they say, come buy ice cream. And the guy says, no, I have to study for a test. And the friend starts badgering him to go buy ice cream. That's one type of Yetzer Hara. Then you have the person that needs to study, sit down and study for the test, but they want to buy ice cream. So they're torn whether they should study or go buy ice cream. The difference is, one is Mibachutz. One is the person themselves has no desire for the ice cream, but there's an external force trying to get him to do the wrong thing. And the other one is internally, he's torn between two pulls. That's the Yetzer Hara Mibachutz. Pre-Eitz Hadas, there was a Yetzer Hara. But the Yetzer Hara was what we call Yetzer Hara Mibachutz. The Nachash symbolized that Yetzer Hara. He was going to get Adam to sin. Adam had no desire to sin. There was an external force. In order to be choice in the world, there had to be a Yetzer Hara. The Nachash manifested was that Yetzer Hara. After Adam succumbed and did the Chet Eitz Hadas, now man is torn between good and evil. Now, what the Nefesh HaChaim says is, when we say that a baby has no Yetzer Hara, we mean that the Yetzer Hara internally. But an external Yetzer Hara exists. When she was a Veritz HaPesach HaVeitah Zarah, the external force of Avodah Zarah influenced the fetus inside to want to be Mepharches Lates. There was an external force of evil going to these fetuses. One was able to resist it, one was not. Internally, the baby doesn't have its own Yetzer Hara. Doesn't make life miserable for mom unless there's an external force, which is what happened by Rivka. That's how the Nefesh HaChaim explains what happened by Rivka.
In the case of Rivka, the question was, when did it control?
Right, so that's why I said, someone answer that. Someone answer the Yetzer Hara is there. The question is, at what point is he shaylate? And therefore, but it seems that shaylate is mashma, he takes control, you know, he's much more, he's a bigger player. Let's do Rashi.
So Asa was behind the eight ball before. I just don't understand. It should be an even deal, right? Everyone should be in the same plane, right? I just don't understand. How was Yaakov able to combat it? What did he have in him that? This is so.
Everyone had the same challenges. Everyone had the same eight ball, right?
Everybody has their set of choices. They're not necessarily the same choices.
Starting when?
Well, according to this, to a certain extent, starting, by the way, according to the Nefesh HaChaim, really starting at birth. Sometimes outside influences can trigger even before birth. No. Not true. We all start off with very different playing fields. Some people are born lazy. Some people are born narcissistic. Some people are born giving. Some people are born miserly. Everybody has his own set of characteristics that they start off. And they have their choices. They are judged by their choices. That's why nobody can judge a person except the Rabbeinu Shlalom. Because only the Rabbeinu Shlalom knows the playing field. Only the Rabbeinu Shlalom knows what the setup was. You know, it's easy to sit here and judge other people. That's the easiest thing to do, because you can just do whatever you want. It's meaningless. It's meaningless because we don't know the shyness of the person is, right? Ata zeicher es kol hamifo gam kol hayitzur le'nikhad mimecha, I think we say in Shemayin Esrei and Rosh Hashanah. You remember everything that was done, and all creation is not withheld from you. I believe Reb Chaim Volozhiner explains that. We see kol hamifo, or at least we think we see kol hamifo. We see the actions. But the Rabbeinu Shlalom sees kol hayitzur. He sees the whole history behind the action. He sees who is the person doing the action, what his shyness are, what was his environment, what is he coming from, what was his history. It's all into the equation, which a human can't do. So, no, not everybody's more in an even playing field. It's not really a fair statement to say. Right. Rashi. Limdeni antininus midvar v'lamati. V'kadosh ha-sham aruchi m'shas p'kida nishma aruchi. From the time of p'kida, my spirit was watched. M'shas yitzir. Shiyaitzmi me'imoya m'shas yitzir. From when he comes out, or from the time he's created. I'm a rebbe m'shas yitzirah. Antininus m'kain. If that was the case, b'yibi me'imoy v'yaitzir. Elo m'shas yitzirah must be from the time that he left. Talk to Gemara Vayitz. I'm sorry?
Why was Antoninus more perceptive?
That's why some want to learn that Rebbe never really agreed. There are those that want to say Rebbe didn't agree, just didn't pursue it any further. To answer that very question, why would Antoninus know what Rebbe didn't know? The other way of learning is, you can learn Halaymid Mikal Odom. There is something that people can add. Everybody can add to everybody else's knowledge. Antoninus brought up a point, and Rebbe said, you make sense. I have no better explanation than that.
How about Yisro and Moshe?
That's the thing, Yes.
He's doing, but not from a goy. I think Grim Odom.
That's true, but Antoninus was, the best Asa person that we can imagine. If we had to write a script of what an Asa person had to look like, it would be Antoninus. What?
But what's surprising about us and just knowing more?
I don't know. I think if Reb Chaim Kanevsky was walking with some Arab and he taught Reb Chaim Kanevsky something, he'd be pretty astounded.
As only Arab.
One of the points I was making is not that this is not an error.
Well, I was trying to illustrate a point.
You know, the meditations of Marcus Aurelius still exist.
The who?
The meditations of Marcus Aurelius. Most attribute Antoninus to be Marcus Aurelius Antoninus, one of the greatest Roman emperors who, for 30 years, put the empire back together. Unfortunately, his son adopted something other than destroyed it. But the book, The Meditations of Marcus Aurelius, is one of the great classics. So, something I still read.
And he says things like this?
It is at a very high level.
Does he quote Rebbe?
What? He does not. He does not quote Rebbe. And as a matter of fact, he does make statements of those fealty to Roman gods. But when my oldest son was in Yeshiva in high school, I got permission to worship, and I sent him a copy of the Meditations. The only person reading Aurelius in high school. But,
why did you borrow it from the Roshiva?
Respond, Mr. Rebbe.
Why did you borrow the book from the Roshiva?
No, the
Rishim didn't
have the book. Didn't have it. Oh, Ishlakish Rami. Okay. Ishlakish Rami. Asked the contradiction. Siv, it says in the Pasuk, Bam Iber Pesayach. It seems to indicate that when there is Chiyas HaMesim, there will be blind and lame, Hara V'Yeledes, pregnant and giving birth, Yavdav together. It seems to indicate that at Chiyas HaMesim, there will still be people with blemishes. Physical impairments. Siv, the other pasuk says, "Azidlak kayol pesayach." Then the lame one will jump like an ayol. Ayol is commonly translated as mountain goat. Vitarai v'sarain l'shain ilaim, and the language, the voice of the mute, I guess sarai means, will be like a trumpet. What does he say Visara means? What? Well, sing. The voice of the Elim. Ki nisku b'amidbar mayim, in the desert, will break forth water, unachalim b'arava, and streams in the plains. So we see that there won't be any physical impairments anymore. Okay, Tzad, reconcile is the word I'm looking for. How do we reconcile the two? I'm the Mamumam and Misrapim. They will get up with their blemish, and then Hashem will heal them. The Trashi? Mukhtib Azid Lakayab Mitzayat the Mashmash and Misrapim. I'm the Mamumam the Akakach Misrapim. They will get up with their blemish, and then they will be healed. If we stop and think about it, it's an unbelievable thing. Here is a person who got buried with a physical impairment, who disintegrated. The person disintegrated. There's Tzias HaMesim, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu recreates. Right? So one would think that the recreation should be a new body. But the Rabbeinu Shem recreates the same person. Recreates the same person not only in his spirituality, because Tzias HaMesim obviously has to be the same person, but the physical person is the same person. And the person is recreated with all their physical impairments. So this is the same person. That's the point of that. We have now created the same person, time number two. And the physical impairment is a raya to the human eye that this is the same person. Because it would be out impairment, what makes it the same person? This makes it the same person. Once it's the same person, that same person can now be healed. Now that same person can reach shleimus, can now become complete. But that's what has to happen. That is why the Rebbeinu Shem does it, not that I have to tell him what to do, but that's the message to us and why this is happening. The same person, like the Gemara says, there's a luz bone that never rots, and that Kadosh Baruch Hu does Tchias HaMesim from the luz bone, right? So what it's saying is, every person is recreated, right? As Rabbi Yankel Kohn would say, from his DNA. The luz bone provides the DNA of recreation. Means, right? It's not like a new person is created. The same person's own DNA, supposedly, this is the way he likes to describe it, is recreating that person from that luz bone, which never left, which always remains. Yes?
What age will be restored to?
Seems to right before death, and then will get completely well. Because if not, physical impairments would be what physical impairments? Pashtas, the ones they were buried with.
80-year-old man.
So, I mean, it's not the age as much as the physical impairment of what they're missing, what's not working. But then the Rabbeinu Shlomo healed them. But the point of recreating them with this impairment is that it's the same person. Yes. That I don't know. See, the examples are given are lame and blind. So I can't answer that question. The examples given are lame and blind, so I'm not going to venture to start answering that question. So can lameness. Both can be. So I won't answer. I'll be guessing if I answer. Well, I mean, I'm not going to argue against the Yisamaisim here, you know what I mean? But I could say that the Pasuk is saying that the people alive who are in this condition will get healed.
No, I'm asking, the Gemara before was looking for proofs of the Yisamaisim in the
Torah. First of all, this is a Navi, not in Torah. And second of all, it doesn't say that the dead will be this way. It'll say the people, it could be the people that are living at the time will be this way. But it's not from the Torah anyway, it's from the Navi. Even though the Gemara later on will start bringing proofs from Navi and from Suvim. So the Gemara considers that Minat Torah. So that doesn't seem to be a problem. I think the problem is you'll say, who says these are the recreated people? Perhaps they're the people that that never left. They're still here. That are lame and blind, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will heal them. Doesn't say anything about recreation. Yes? No, it's a new sugya. That's the way I understand it. It's a new, totally new sugya. We're moving back to Tchiyas HaMeisim. What happens was, we had been talking about Tchiyas HaMeisim, and because of Gvir Ben Psisa, who was answering about Tchiyas HaMeisim, we got involved in Gvir Ben Psisa. And once we got involved in Gvir Ben Psisa, we went back to Tchiyas HaMeisim Din, which is Antoninus and Rebbe, and we got involved in Antoninus and Rebbe. And now we're going back. The sugi is Tchiyas HaMeisim. We've exited a number of times ad lib. What's the word? I'm looking at it. What? Digress. We've digressed a number of times, but we're going back to Tchiyas HaMeisim.
Rebbe.
Yes.
Is it interesting? Our new student is so smart. I mean, he's starting up with him. I know, it's a very nice thing. You're new.
Now, why don't you guys fight next to each other? You live next to each other. Fight over there. You don't have to fight over here.
I'm thinking, Shvach, when you come over 1 o'clock on Sunday, we'll discuss this.
Right, here we go.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, right.
I'm leaving,
Yahweh. Right.
Baruch Hashem, I don't know what
he's
talking about.
Okay. Ula Rami. I think I'm going to stop over here. I just want to say I will not be here tomorrow morning in Rosh Hashem. I'm going for Chasana. I'll be back in Rosh Hashem Friday morning.
Das ist famous in der Gold. So schmeckt der Chai in der Nachhede, so Chai in der Nachhede, so Chai in der Nachhede, so Chai in der Gomme, das ist bei mir.
Das ist
immer
die Schere, es ist immer die Schere. Was? Nein. Ich in der Nachhede, in der Nachhede, nur für die Schere, das ist immer die Schere. In der Nachhede,
how are you going?
Driving. In today, back tomorrow. I'm going to visit my parents on the way. On the way back. In the Beit Elam.
I was wondering, like,
it's Chai to show.
No, it's one of these things, I'm going to, and behind the scenes is, well, okay, what place was Rebbe now? You know what I mean?
No, I'm going to. I haven't been by my parents ever in over a year, and. And you know, I go into New York, I don't have time, but I figured this LOL, I should make time. Yeah, I gotta go sometime.
Where's Kasha?
What?
In
Barbara.
Can we practice the motion?
If you don't mind, you can bring it up. I'm out of here by 8 o'clock in the morning.
That's good.
Yeah.
How would I find you? How would he find you first?
I would leave it in my thing. He can pick it up tonight.
Where in Borough Farms?
I don't want him to find me by the class. I'd rather him find me by the place I stay.
Where is that?
48th and 18th.
Yeah.
But again, I'm leaving right after davening. I'm packed. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm ready to go.
Okay. I just want to before the morning session.